Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it's that time for a relevant and timely conversation with an industry leader to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer's or OEM's radar, like yours, for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's jump right in. I'm excited to have Vanessa Tan, Senior Manager of Research and Market Intelligence with Cox Automotive, on this new monthly learning series, Unjaded for the Road Forward. Vanessa, I just knew you had to be my first guest with the release of the annual Car Buyer Journey Study this month. I'm excited to have a conversation with you to give our viewers and listeners a behind-the-scenes look at why this consumer-focused study is thought of so highly throughout our industry, as well as find out some of the key takeaways auto dealers and OEMs should take note of. So welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so excited to be your first guest.
Awesome. Well, I'll start by asking, what is the history behind the Car Buyer Journey Study conducted by Cox Automotive? How often, how many years have we done it? And I really want to know how your team actually conducts the study. And what's your big goal? What's the why behind it?
Great question. And I love how you just started it out that way. So this is our 14th year that we're doing the study. And we do it every year so we can understand what the consumer experience is. So we can teach our OEM and dealers how to improve that so they can understand what the customer needs, wants, and what they're prioritizing. So we survey about 3,000 people, both new and used car buyers, who purchased within the last year. And it's an online study, so they take the survey online, so it's quantitative. And we ask questions like, hey, what are like some of your thoughts and feelings around pricing, selection that's out there? What sites did you visit when you were shopping? How many sites did you visit? What sites did you use? What was your customer experience like at the dealership? And then what's some of the digital steps you're taking to understand how you're transacting? So we take all these results and we throw it into the study top line to communicate to dealers and OEMs and journalists and everyone out there.
You know, it is so important that all of those things come together so that we know and can pass along how satisfied consumers are with the existing dealership experience. You know, I find experience and expectations are everything these days in truly all aspects of our lives, and how those experiences connect and make us more efficient, more aware, and in control of what keeps us coming back and evolving, how we shop and dine and operate daily. So, Vanessa, speaking of satisfaction, I know consumer satisfaction levels have been on a bit of a roller coaster ride over the last few years. And of course, so many reasons for that: inventory fluctuations, pricing, interest rates, and so on. So tell us what this looked like in this year's Car Buyer Journey study and the reasons behind the levels that were reported.
Okay, you hit it on the nail when you said market conditions. Because since the pandemic, there's been a lot of fluctuations, right? And our study is pretty sensitive in gauging what the consumer's sentiments and expectations are in their experience. So one of the things that we saw in the study was that overall shopping experience has improved this year in 2023 results. And there's a few factors, Jade, where that's impacting that satisfaction level with shopping. One, selection is better because we're seeing that the inventory levels are recovering, especially on the domestic side of the market. So the selection is better. We're seeing that because selection is better, there's some incentives on the vehicles itself. So we do see a bit of relief in terms of pricing. So they're more satisfied because pricing is a bit better. However, I do want to caution by saying that pricing or affordability is still a pain point because even though prices did go down a little bit, it's still not as it was in 2021 or 2020. And that's with interest rates, with, you know, inflation and everything. So dealers and OEMs have to be cognizant of that and finding ways to help consumers make that decision. Now, the other trend that we saw was that since 2020, we saw the dealership experience even reach new heights. And it's been phenomenal for the last 3-4 years because we're seeing that dealerships have streamlined their process. They've done things to make it more efficient for the consumer, and they're really working in improving that experience, because you touched on experience, Jade, and that's really important. And dealers have been doing that. So therefore, consumers are very satisfied overall with the experience, and dealers have just been delivering it and rolling with the punches of the challenges that they've encountered. And we see that they've been so resilient throughout these last few years. So we're just so grateful to see that they're making the best efforts that they can make to improve this experience.
Yes, our industry is amazing, tough and adaptable and scrappy and creative. And, you know, when it comes to automotive professionals, none of us are afraid to roll up our sleeves. And we all know that change is the only constant, and that the headwinds we face, they aren't subsiding anytime soon. They may be different ones than they have been over the last couple of years. But, you know, when we think about extended loan terms and the election cycle and reverse supply and demand imbalances, but we all know that the future is bright. So, Vanessa, you mentioned that dealers have been so resilient and they've done such a great job in delivering outstanding customer experience. What do you recommend they do to take that experience even beyond the successes and improvements that they've seen and really driven over the last couple of years?
That's a great question. And the thing that I saw in the data that's been proven time and time again would be around digital retailing and e-commerce. So what we saw in the data is that the more the consumers are doing online, like starting their transaction, starting the financing process, getting financing, negotiating price, etc., the more they do online, the more satisfied they are with the shopping experience as well as the dealership experience. Because people who do more, we saw that they're happier with time spent, like efficiency, right? They don't have to spend as much time there. They're saving like 40 minutes if they do more online. They're more satisfied with price. They're more satisfied with their engagement with financing and the salespeople. So that interaction is more satisfying for them, as well as the selection, because they've done their homework. So we think that's one of the ways to keep the satisfaction level high and taking it to another level. I'm going to say another way, and we saw this in the data, and this is the first time we asked the consumers about this, so I'm just really excited about it, would be leads. So beyond basic leads, so basic meaning just contact information, dealers should really encourage customers to submit enhanced leads. And by enhanced leads, I mean like their vehicle information, their credit information, their trade-in information. Because I realize the more the dealers know about the consumer, the more they can provide a personalized experience, right? So if you know what they want, you're going to bring things that are most relevant and important and sell them what they need and engage them that way. And we think with personalization, that's going to take satisfaction to a whole new level.
So well said. You know, I like to say it's really not just digital retailing. It is retailing in 2024 and forevermore. As many of those pieces of information that you can collect from a consumer and then piece together across all of the places in the automotive ecosystem that a consumer can input that information. That's where that kind of blurred line that we've been talking about for years between physical and virtual retailing, online to in-store retailing. As that line blurs, that's where we really see, we're already starting to see those results. It's the win-win that consumers desire in the experience and that will allow dealers to find the efficiencies and profits and market share opportunities and truly sales volume incrementality that they've been waiting for in this transition to e-commerce. So let's talk about some of the other key findings. What surprised you and your team the most from the results and outcomes of this year's study?
You know what? You sound like a journalist, Jade, because journalists always ask us that question. What surprised you the most? Yeah. You know, every year there's something new and shocking. And usually we want that so then that way we can go and tell our OEMs and our dealer clients, hey, this is what's shocking. This is what you can do to change or shift your marketing strategy. To start, last year, the shocker for me was the amount of cross-shopping and cross-consideration Yes. there were, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll touch on that a bit later. But this year, I'm going to say it has to be around vehicle ownership. And we're seeing that vehicle ownership is really here to stay. So in 2018, we asked the consumer, and it's a statement, and then they agree with it or not. But the statement is, transportation is necessary, but vehicle ownership is not. And in 2018, that percentage was 43%. And today, that same statement is 35%. So what that tells me is that consumers are committed to ownership, right? Because they feel it's more essential. And we think that's a product of the pandemic, because remember, safety is an issue because we're told to stay home or stay a bit isolated. So people weren't taking public transportation. They weren't ride sharing. They weren't doing those things. They felt safer in a car. So people were more committed to driving on their own and doing more on their own. So we're seeing that even vehicle subscription is not affordable and not sustainable, and it's ownership that people are committed to. So that's really important. And then in addition to the vehicle ownership, we're seeing that more people are adding vehicles to their household. So beyond just one or two cars, they're adding more. And we saw that there's been a 36% increase in people adding to their household fleet. So what does this all mean? For OEMs and dealers, think about your volume, because you have to plan around your volume. But then think about the opportunities, because you really have to enhance and keep shaping that customer experience. Not just for selling the vehicle, but I'm going to say servicing the vehicle too, because people are Yes. owning these cars, right? And dealers, Mm-hmm. I believe their profit center is about 49% or 50% dedicated to fixed operations. So I'm telling you, it is so important for dealers and OEMs to recognize this change in attitude and needs of the consumers.
I get so excited about that fixed ops revenue stream, Vanessa. I've talked about it for years, you know, as we navigated the pandemic as an industry, and as we think about, you know, the shell game of revenues that are happening for dealers all the way up to OEMs, and then even tier two and agency partners and regional programs in between. But focusing on that fixed ops revenue stream, which truly is the most stable revenue stream for our clients' businesses. This is great data to support that. So we're going to be hitting that hard in one of our upcoming Unjaded for the Road Forward series issues and sessions. But those are some astonishing shifts in consumer perspective. And, you know, we see similar evolutions in e-commerce adoption, EV penetration, dealership loyalty, research habits. And so, yes, I definitely would like you to talk a little bit more about cross-shopping consideration, cross-consideration. And, you know, I remember this big increase that we saw in last year's study, and I wondered what that was going to look like this year. So please tell us more.
So with, you know, selection being limited in the last few years, right? People have to shop more to find that vehicle. And I'm going to say not even the right vehicle, because it became more of any vehicle,
right,
in 2022 and 2021. And cross-shopping, cross-consideration, like you and I talked about, was really high. But what's going to surprise you a bit is that even though inventory has recovered, we're still seeing very high cross-shopping and cross-consideration, especially on the used car side. Now, from a new car side, 37% of new buyers are considering or have considered new and used. On the used car side, 78% of used buyers, they were considering new and used, and they were considering more vehicles as well. The average number of vehicles that people were considering was like 2, and it's 2.2. So statistically, for used vehicle buyers, that's kind of high. So the reason why it's high is because, one, used buyers, they probably started out looking for a new car. And with affordability being a challenge, they had to figure out alternatives. So that's why some of them had to go and buy a used car. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, we think that dealers can help with that, offer different solutions, whether it's a used vehicle or a certified pre-owned, because that certified pre-owned is kind of like almost new. And that's what we saw in the data. They feel like it's almost new, but I still get this warranty that backs it up, and it gives me that peace of mind. So we want dealers and OEMs to offer different solutions to keep them in the brand, because we think that's really important. And with more inventory and more selection, people have more to consider. Therefore, they're cross-shopping more and they're, you know, cross-considering more.
Right on. And so now I'd love to wrap up this amazing session with a really important question, given that you are so intimately familiar with this data. Why do you think it's so important for dealers, OEMs, everyone in the automotive industry to especially pay attention to these results, findings, and trends uncovered from the Car Buyer Journey study? And you've shared so many great things with us, but can you just take a couple of minutes and recap the key actions our viewers and listeners should be taking that you covered earlier? And then call out what your team feels like are the opportunities to drive more business and truly increase that satisfaction as we finish out the first part of 2024, moving into 2025.
So the first thing that I do want to say is that I want to reemphasize that vehicle ownership is here to stay, because that's what dealers and OEMs have to focus on. Find new ways to market to these people. Find new ways to develop that experience to help them ease the experience, offering solutions to some of these challenges, Jade, that you and I talked about: affordability, interest rates, different market conditions. So I think that's the top thing. The second thing is, you and I talked about digital retailing, or retailing at that.
Retailing.
Offering that omni-channel, tools, digital tools, making it easy for consumers to shop and buy. Whether I can do it on my couch, or I can go into the dealership and get that engagement and negotiate that price, but being flexible in providing that transition from offline to to being in the dealership, being online, doing different things to make it easier for them to transact. And I think that's the key thing, to take customer experience even to a level we've never seen. And then finally, the thing that I haven't touched on as much, but I want viewers, consumers, everyone to know this. Dealers have been resilient, and you and I talked about that, but I want to talk about third parties being very resilient as well. So people are shopping online and they're doing their research and they're trying to figure out what car should I buy. And we looked at our results and we wanted to see, okay, what sites are they shopping on? Are they shopping on OEM sites, dealer sites, used car sites, third party sites? And what we consistently found throughout all these years is that they were true and committed to third-party sites because they saw third-party sites as a site that they can go to where it has everything that they need. They can cross-shop while they're there. They can research on all these different vehicles, and it is the most objective for them. So we urge people, hey, when you're developing your online strategy, consider third-party sites because you want to go where the consumers are. And you're going to use third-party sites to drive more incremental traffic to your dealer site or your OEM site. So we think that's really important. And we hope that people really consider that.
And we are hearing the same again and again. I've been with a lot of dealers and industry influencers and consultants over the last couple of weeks with our conference travel. And, you know, dealers get better at the new ways to measure ROI, and there's more technology out there that exists to give them visibility into the full consumer click path and consumer journey. We really are seeing that. You know, I think you take the cross-shopping trends and the supply and demand trend changes, and it just says, you know, they have all this information at their fingertips, but to have a marketplace type of credible resource that they can do all of those first steps before they start moving further down the funnel. It's a critical place that a dealer's inventory is there in a very cost-effective way to get inventory advertising and brand advertising out in front of all the shoppers. So Vanessa, as we start to wrap up this amazing conversation, a little birdie shared with me that you were asked to host a webinar on automotive news for the third year in a row. So congratulations. And I also heard that it was Automotive News' most attended webinar in 2023. So I'm sure it's going to be a big success again this year. Can you share with our viewers when it is and how to register for it?
I'm so excited about it because there's so much that we want to teach the viewers, OEMs, dealers, media, et cetera. They can sign up for the webinar on Automotive News. It will be on February 22nd. At 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we will also have the link available to the viewers. But I'm so excited about it. And I hope, Jade, you can join as well, because I would love to see you on the webinar.
Well, you bet. I will be there, Vanessa. And thank you so much. I think that about wraps us up. A big thank you to Vanessa Tan for being my guest, and a big thank you to all of you for watching or listening to our first episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to register for the live webinar Vanessa's hosting on Automotive News February 22nd, or catch the replay if you happen to miss it. I will be there live. I'm marking it on my calendar right now. And we will also provide the link to sign up on LinkedIn and on the landing page for this series, b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the road forward, where you can also sign up to be one of the first to hear when a new episode's released each month, as well as be surprised with subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year. We are going to be having a couple of those on the side with Vanessa as we start to think about our dealer sentiment index and tell you more about how your peers are feeling both on the Tier 1 and Tier 3 side. So as always, I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for Unjaded Discussions aimed at helping you navigate what matters most. Be sure to tune in next month as we'll continue the open conversation with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they're currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. Unjaded for the Road Forward is all about cutting through the noise together to drive results for you.